This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Kenny Shields coached high school and college basketball in Northern Kentucky for almost four decades. During that time, he won 766 games, more than 300 of those with Northern Kentucky University's men's basketball team. Today, he's still working with young people who enjoy the game of basketball. This is the 32nd consecutive year he's conducted the summer camp at the Fort Thomas Armory. Kenny Shields is out with a book about his life and successful coaching career, Nothing More, Nothing Less, Nothing Else. It was written by his longtime friend and former high school basketball coach, Dave Chabelle. Both of them join us this afternoon, and if you've ever taken part in Coach Shields' basketball camps or have any stories to share about him, give us a call at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ken and David, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so how did you two get to know each other in the first place? I guess the coaching world's it's a small world.
Well, this goes back to when we all were still in the coaching ranks, and Coach Shields was at Highlands. We became kind of a fraternity, and we traveled each spring to the annual Rite of Spring, the Kentucky State Basketball Tournament, stayed together at the same hotel, met, went to dinner together, different place each night. And over the years, you develop a relationship, and Coach and I got to know each other that way.
Yeah, so whose idea was it to write the book?
Well,
or do you both take credit for that?
I kind of felt that it was something that needed to be done, and I'm not so sure that if I hadn't, been the first to suggest it, that someone else might have come along a little later and done it. But, you know, this is a man who took over the high school ranks, a very small high school at St. Thomas, Fort Thomas, had instant success, moved to the big public school right down the street at Highlands, and in 10 of 12 seasons, he had 20 game winning seasons, took the Bluebirds to the regional tournament five times.
That was five out of nine trips too, wasn't it, Coach?
And Highlands before he got there hadn't won a basketball regional championship in 45 years. So I just felt it was a story needed to be told. Coach, very familiar figure in Northern Kentucky, and I made the suggestion one spring, and he kind of said, I don't know, let me think about it. And then the second, he said, let's go for it. And we were off and running, and here we are. Better than 10 years later with the finished product.
Finally,
hey, Coach?
Yes, I guess that the book would not be a reality if it weren't for Shobbs, as I affectionately call him. He started it, got it going, and we worked pretty hard, kind of separately, and I would go to the library with research material and scrapbooks from others, and I would write things out, and then he gave me a little recorder, and I'm not real technologically good. Anyway, so I would verbalize it, and then he got the written end of the verbal tape thing, and then he would put together a chapter, and then he would give it back to me to check if there's anything not exactly accurate, and then we go from there, just move to the next year.
The original text was 40 chapters. The man coached for 39 seasons, and basically, we would combine a couple on occasion. But for the most part, it was a year-by-year chronology of returning players, preseason polls, what was expected of that season, and then how the season went, along with other things like going on vacation to his parents' home in Ormond Beach, Florida, and things of that nature. So it got to be rather lengthy. The original text, I bought the biggest binder that I could find at Staples, one of those that have two or three spines, and you have to carry it almost with two hands, and it was all Word documents. And I don't have a day. I've never taken a journalism class. And, you know, I had run-on sentences because we write the way that we talk. And it was Terry Bemker and Rick Myers stood up and kind of put this thing together in a professional manner and converted it into a readable novel.
So you had never taken a journalism class. Had you ever even written any kind of book or anything?
Well, you know, I write a lot of sports articles. We run the B Mustangs website, which is a sports-specific website in conjunction with Bishop Rossert High School in Alexandria. I had written two short stories. One was The Miracle Millennium Mustangs, when Brossert won the 10th Region Championship for the first time, went to Rupp Arena and defeated Graves County. And I put together, and it was just a bunch of pages stapled together with a few pictures that I had downloaded onto it. And I want to tell you, the first editions I came out, about 30 of them, I misspelled the word millennium on the cover. So, you know, so I'm rather down to earth. The second was on a fishing trip that I took with my fishing partner, Bill Hagedorn, when we went to Great Slave Lake in the year, I believe, 2000.
That's up in Canada, isn't it?
It is, okay. The Northwest Territories of Canada. Yes, sir. And that was quite an experience. You are no longer the top of the food chain, you know. So it was an experience. But those were the two short stories I had written. But I had every confidence that I would be able to do what we did, gather the information, put together something that somebody, you know, eventually would be able to condense into a workable knowledge. And there's a lot of history in there that involves not only Coach Shields at St. Thomas and Highlands, but some of his players who went on to be coaches, Newport Catholic, who we talk about Simon Kenton winning the first ever state tournament, state championship from the 9th region. So if you've got the CD that's got the whole 39 original things, you can pretty much find and follow any particular year or era of Coach Shields' coaching career.
Ken, explain the title of the book, if you would.
Well, you know, John Wooden always said that success was a peace of mind of knowing that you've done the very best that you can do to become the very best that you can become. And I added to that something from a prayer, and I can't even locate the prayer, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And I used to, in talking to my players before they went on the floor, you know, I would say, basically, guys, do your very best, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And I'd say, God bless you, and I love you. And that's the way I sent him to the floor.
You mentioned John Wooden, legendary basketball coach. How well did you know him?
Well, I got to know him at some basketball clinics where coaches back in the 70s would go, and he'd be one of the speakers. And he used to like to walk 3 miles in the afternoon, and I was intrigued by him. He was kind of my icon that I looked into and try to emulate the positive attributes that he has, or had, I should say. And I walked a couple times with him, and he was just such a gentleman, such a guy under control, and just very, very special. And so I really read his books. I took copious notes, and a whole lot of him became a part of me as a coach and a teacher.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation if you have a Ken Shields story to tell. And let's talk to Jim. Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah. I'm a friend of Ken Shields. I was just calling in to congratulate him and telling him the travel did a great job on the book. I read it. And like he does everything else, he did a wonderful job. He's a fine, fine person.
Well, thanks, Tiny. I appreciate that much. You and I have been lifelong friends, and you're one of the finest people that I know, and you've been very supportive throughout this endeavor.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you would like to join us. Ken, tell us about your family when you were growing up, the influence that they had on you.
Well, I was born and raised in what they call Main Strasse now in Covington. It was called the West End. My mother, Blanche, was a waitress. My dad, Jack, he delivered milk for Cloverleaf Dairy in Newport 2 nights a week at the corner, bar. He tended bar. And I grew up there with one brother, Tim, who was 15 months younger than I, and he has since been deceased, and a sister, Jackie, 4 years older than I. And we went to St. Patrick's Church in school. We lived right next door to the church. It was owned by the church. And in actuality, for all 14 years, the years I lived there, they charged my mom and dad $20 a month rent for the little four-room frame cottage.
Now, when did you first realize that you wanted to go into coaching? Was that early on? Or?
Well, you know, I played knothole baseball with the West Enders, as we also were known as, and basketball for St. Patrick's, and played at Covington Catholic. I was a starter in baseball for 3.5 years, basketball for 2 years. Wasn't good enough to play Division I at the University of Dayton, and I had thoughts that maybe I'd get a chance to go away to the minor leagues for baseball in actuality. And once I knew that that wasn't going to take place, I decided I wanted to be a coach and needed to be a teacher to do that. The Marianist, who run the University of Dayton, as you know, at that time they ran Covington Catholic High School, and I got encouragement from them to go to Dayton when it was not real expensive, $19 a credit hour when I started. And that's how I ended up there. And I didn't have a car or anything else. I used to go up there most times on a Greyhound bus for $2.90 from the Greyhound bus station. I'd thumb home back in the day when people used to thumb more. And that's basically how I got back and forth. I had made a deal with my dad that I would not even bring up getting a driver's license or a car until I graduated. And 2 days after I graduated, I took lessons from the Conant Driving School. And a week later, I had my license, and I got a chance to go to Covington Catholic, the high school where I went over there for $4,000 at the teach full time, $150 for assistant basketball, $150 for assistant baseball. Thought I died and went to heaven. And then after 1 year, I had a chance to become a head coach at St. Thomas High School in Fort Thomas. I didn't even know how to get to Fort Thomas at that time. And I ended up over there for 10 glorious years. All five of our children were born. And then, of course, Highlands for 13 years, which included five regional championships, and then Northern for 16 years.
What kind of what were the subjects you were teaching?
I taught biology predominantly at St. Thomas. I was also taught health. I even taught general business. In a small school, you had to be able to do a lot of things, even though I really didn't have the degree for general business. And then when I was at Highlands, I was chairperson of the health and PE department, and I taught mostly health and some PE at there.
We will continue our conversation with Ken Shields and Dave Schauble, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney, and my guests this afternoon are Kenny Shields and Dave Schauble. They're out with a new book about the life and career of Coach Shields, Nothing More, Nothing Less, Nothing Else. And you can join us with your stories and memories of Coach Shields, 513-419-7100. Email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dave, you've had some experience with Dave's teaching, and you've got a memory of his style.
Well, in putting the book together, you know, I interviewed various people, and Coach at the time had retired from coaching, but he was still teaching University 101 class. So I asked
at NKU.
If I could,
uh-huh.
At NKU. Okay. So I asked if I could sit in on one of those classes just to get a feel. And he's got a whole classroom full of these young 19, 20-year-olds. And he had told me that his topic that day was going to be behavior. So I'm sitting in the back expecting this talk about, parking within the lines and making sure that, there's no roughhousing going on between classes. It turned out the topic was sexual behavior. And here is our venerable head coach up there lecturing these young college students on ways to not be promiscuous or not be promiscuous in a protective manner, using the current vernacular, you know, the current medical terms and things. And I'm sitting there floored by the fact that here is Coach Shields up there being drawn into not only having to talk about university and orientation to the university, but also providing sexual behavior classes to his young charges.
Well, that was a part of the curriculum. Responsible behavior. You know, with date rapes and acquaintance rapes and things like that, and I was certainly explaining the responsibilities, but also I integrated my biological background as a teacher and brought them from A to Z.
What was your first coaching job? Was St. Thomas High School?
My first coaching job was my alma mater, Covington Catholic.
Right, you were an assistant coach there.
Where I was an assistant for 1 year. Mote Hills was the head coach. Hep Cronin, whose son Mick Cronin is the head UC coach. Hep, who went on to become a very successful high school coach in Cincinnati at Roger Bacon and Oak Hills and LaSalle. But that was 1 year there, and I was going to get married in that summer in August in this job at St. Thomas High School, a little a high school which had both the young boys and girls in it. And I applied for the job, and I had the biology teaching certification, and that was a key thing too. And I was hired, and I went over there, and they had some good programs for a small school. And we had some good years. We had a couple that were rough, but that was the prelude for me going to Highlands High School for the ensuing 13 years.
So you went to Highlands. You won, what, 261 games at Highlands?
I believe that's what it was.
Is that right,
it was 199 at St. Thomas. It ended up between the two high schools over the 23 head coaching years being 460 wins, which I'm the number one boys high school winningest coach in Northern Kentucky as a head coach. And so during those 13 years between 75 and 88, they had not been to the state tournament since 1934. Well, I inherited, even though they had only won six games the year before, I inherited a good group out of the JV level and freshman level, and we ran off four straight 20-win seasons. And then in 79, we won our first ninth region championship, and then we won it again in 82, 83, 86, and 87. And that was the prelude to Northern Kentucky University.
So you started at NKU in
1988 in the fall.
Okay. How did those first few years go?
Well, the first year I inherited a talented group of seniors, and we won 17 or 18 games. And, man, I thought, this isn't so hard. And then we lost a bunch of players, had a couple guys I was expecting to play. One had grade problems and didn't come back. The other one had some emotional problems and didn't come. And we started with freshmen. Our first recruits were Todd Swoboda from Princeton High School, Greg Felia from Purcell High School, Ron Marbury from Columbus St. Charles, and Craig Wilhoit from McNicholas High School. Bottom line, we had like four seasons that we were right below 500. And then it happened. We got a great recruiting class, and everything just escalated up through great, great years.
You know, before Coach arrived at Highlands, Highlands was known as a football school. You know, the school song said, "We will march that ball right down that field." And then Coach came in, and basketball was something that was done to occupy the kids' time between football seasons. They had won a number of state championships in football. So one of the big challenges was to endear himself to the football program. And then I think it turn it to an advantage for him. The book kind of cites that, you know, having football players joining the basketball program allowed him to work with the younger basketball players while they were younger until the football players came back and were ready to go. And when the football players reached their potential, they were heading into the district and regional tournament. And I thought that that was one of the things that really, really maybe helped turn that program around.
Well,
instead of butting heads,
my predecessor struggled because football was the zenith at Highlands. And I took on a thought process that Digger Phelps did at Notre Dame. I read his book, and I love football. And so I became very good friends with the football staff, very supportive, took tickets at the football game. And then I would have three or four football players, and they usually won state championships or came in the final game. And they would come back, and they still had the chin strap on by the middle of December. And I used to say December wins were fool's gold wins. Those football players, by the time we got to March, they were into the basketball rhythm in conjunction with the guys that were basketball oriented, really, and also usually played baseball. We really came together, and we played our best in postseason. And like I said, I know we won 5 ninth region titles. I know that we were in the final four like 9 times and during the time too.
And when you were with NKU, you just missed winning the Division II championship. You went there 2 years in a row.
Well, actually, the year before that, the 94-95 season, we were coming off of a number of losing seasons, and we brought this guy in named Andy Listerman from Covington Catholic, and he was the catalyst. A lot of people didn't think he could play, but I had Paul Cluxton, who was still the greatest free throw shooter, who was a sophomore in the history of basketball, being 94 out of 94 as a senior. I had LaRon Moore, who also was an All-American out of Lexington, 6'6", post player. I had Shannon Miner from Coleraine High School. He was a 5'10", 5'11", point guard. And we had Andre McClendon out of Holy Cross High School. All of a sudden, that year, we went 28-4, and we hosted the NCAA Regional at the U.S. Bank Arena. And that year, I was named the National Division II Coach of the Year. The next 2 years, in 96, we went to the Elite Eight. I had told our boys back before that great 28-4 year, I said, if we win, if we get to the NCAA tournament, you can shave my head. And they shaved my head on TV and radio and everything else, and I was as bald as a cue. And then the next year, I said, if we win, I'll let you put an earring in my ear. And that's when we upset Bruce Pearl's Southern Indiana team, had beaten us by 33 2 months earlier, beat them on their floor by 12, and we were going to the Elite Eight for the first time, which happened to be in Louisville. So they had a big thing and poked a hole in my ear and put a ring in there. And in that particular tournament, we upset Cal State Bakersfield, who was a big favorite, Virginia Union, and we were in the final game. And I said to him before that game, if we win this game and win the national championship, I'll wear this ring ad infinitum for the rest of my life. We got to
well,
the finals.
Ad infinitum for the rest of your life. That's like infinity on top of infinity.
And we got beat in the championship game by an undefeated team from Kansas by 7 points. The next year, I said, if we win the national championship, I'm going to let you put a tattoo right on this left upper arm, three-leaf clover with the three senior initials, SM for Shannon Miner, LM for LaRon Moore, and PC for Paul. And then the stem will have TEAM. Well, that year we lost by 1 point in the final game, and my wife didn't know about it till she wasn't happy with me. I was in the doghouse, but I wish I had that tattoo. I tell you
that. Right. That had to be a heartbreaker. Just you were one so point. Close, 1 point.
It was really a heartbreaker. 1 point. We had the last shot. We thought Andy Listerman, we thought he was fouled. It wasn't called. Bottom line is we could have won it, but we didn't. And then after that, we had good years, got to the NCAA, but we had to go to Owensboro, to Kentucky Wesleyan territory. And we went to the finals a number of times. And down there, like I say, we had good teams and good years, and we're in the NCAA tournament. We didn't get back to the Elite Eight.
513-419-7100. If you have ever played for Coach Shields or attended one of his camps, call us up and share one of your stories. 513-419-7100. And so many things to pick from, but what was your absolute favorite memory from your coaching career?
Golly.
Was it that National Coach of the Year?
Well, that was a good memory. But truthfully, in 1979 at Highlands High School, when we won the 9th region championship at Holmes High School, we played the game. Dickie Beale, who went on to have a fabulous UK career, when we won that title in a close game coming from behind, I think that was the most ecstatic moment that I had, and I think my family, it was the most special time, truly. Every one of them was special, don't get me wrong, but 79 at Holmes High School when we beat Holmes.
You're so optimistic and upbeat. Have you ever had a low point in your coaching career?
Well, I certainly, we had our nadir, as they say. You know, there were 2 years at St. Thomas when we were low. And even at Highlands, we had a couple years where we didn't win it right after 79. In 80, we had won 7 games at the 1 week to go in the season. We won 2, put us at 9. We win 3 in the district to put us at 12. Now we're going to play Simon Kenton, who the very next year will win the state championship. And we upset them in a close game. And here we are. That's 13 wins. Now we're going to play Holy Cross, who had a great team and beat us. We upset them. And now we're going to play Covington Holmes and Dickie Beale senior year, the team we had just beaten. And after the game, I said to Mike Listerman and John Mesmer and Bill Petty, my loyal assistants, I said, listen, I don't want you going all the way to Murray, Kentucky to scout. We're such a prohibitive underdog. Just stay here and let the chips fall. And he said to me, Coach, if I don't make that trip, these guys will never think they can win. I said, you're gone.
Dave, when you were researching this, interviewing the coach and interviewing people who knew him and family members, and you've known him for how many years now?
Oh, I've known him since I was a high school coach. I think we go back to the mid-70s together. Okay. Those coaches' clinics used to be put on by Converse.
Yes.
We attended those together, the Galt House in Louisville, over and over different 70s. Sites in the state tournaments. And I was always a fan. I was always a big Ken Shields fan. I would – if – Brossard would be eliminated, which we often were in a district. I would get one of those little green four-leaf clovers and put it on my collar and go follow the Bluebirds. And I remember that night so distinctly that they won that first regional championship. Holmes had a huge home streak, winning streak in the David Evans Memorial Fieldhouse. And Holmes was beating them. Holmes was up 12 points in the fourth quarter. And inexplicably, they kind of took the air out of the ball, thought they had enough points to win. The Bluebirds got hot, hit some shots, pulled that tremendous upset. I remember the band playing When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. I remember the coach blowing them a kiss. I remember Kenny running across the floor to hug his wife. Just unexpected victory is just the greatest. And as he said, there are many others. They're all sweet, but that one stuck out in my memory.
Well, I'm just wondering, if as long as you've known him, when you were writing this book, if you came across anything that surprised you that you hadn't known before about Coach Shields.
Well, how hard he worked. When he took over at Northern Kentucky University, He would spend his lunches in the cafeteria with the student bodies and mingling with the faculty. He would then go back to his office and write 3 handwritten letters to businesses, friends, associates, and ask for their support. He grew what was then called the Gold Fund into a workable support unit for his program. And, you know, he would also just endear himself, you know, to the student body, and he made himself very, very available. His camps, when he took over the camps, I don't know what they started at, but, I mean, they blossomed. When they came off of those years when they were NCAA Division II finalists, they had to put extra baskets outside on the tennis courts at NKU. His camps were that popular. And just the way that the man generated interest in his program, in the university, in the community, stood out as being amazing to me.
Ken, do you have any idea how many kids you've worked with through the years in these camps?
Well, I tell you what, you know, at Highlands, we weren't allowed to have basketball camps. And really, they were kind of coming on. Donnie Lane from Transylvania really got him started. And I was not allowed to have a camp until my last year. And the week that I had camp there was when I was in the finals of this head coaching job. I worked for the Covington Recreation Department from 1961 through 85. And I worked for Fort Thomas from 86, 87, and then 88. And the bottom line was I had basketball camps. At NKU, we had 3 weeks where I'd have an average of 220 in each of those groups. We had a team camp, 55 teams, varsity and JV. And I'd go out and speak at all the high schools. And when I would speak to them about life in general and basketball, I would pass out my brochures. It escalated our numbers and got to know kids from Turpin High School, from McNicholas High School, from Anderson, all the Northern Kentucky schools. I even went over to Elder and spoke. And our numbers were great. Nobody, truthfully, and I still do three camp, I can truthfully say nobody that ever coached has ever spoken with as many youngsters as I have anywhere in Cincinnati or Northern Kentucky. And my 766 head coaching wins is number one in boys and men's basketball, you know, as far as all around greater Cincinnati.
But it's probably fair to say you've talked to and worked with thousands and thousands
many
of
thousands,
kids.
Many thousands. And in my prayers, that I include all my former campers, students, fellow coaches, fellow teachers, office personnel, administrators, all of their immediate extended families and living and deceased. And they're in my prayers on a regular basis.
What's your guiding philosophy in working with and coaching these kids?
Well, you know, I've always purported that in our lives that Almighty God needs to be number one. It doesn't matter what church you belong to or if you even go, but God needs to be number one. Number two is family. Number three is friends. And right now with the terrible opioid problem, boy, is that ever a factor now. And then your academics. And I always encourage that. And you know what? In all my career, I never had anybody ever come back and say, I wish you wouldn't have talked about Almighty God or anything. Never once in the whole time. So, you know, that's kind of where I come from. And I'm a player's coach. I was nice in to my players, never tried to embarrass them and ask them, don't you embarrass me either, say when you come off the floor. And they know that I care about them. And like I said, I always told them I loved them before they went to the floor. And you'd be surprised at how many of them that check back in and they'll say, Coach, I love you.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us if you have any stories about Coach Kenny Shields that you'd like to share. 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Kenny Shields and Dave Schauble join us this afternoon as we talk about the life and career of Coach Shields and his new book, Nothing More, Nothing Less, Nothing Else. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Dave, there are a couple of terms you use in the book. I wanted to ask you about this because I find these to be rather interesting. But you talk about Shieldisms and Schaubleisms, I believe, are the two things. And what are those?
They're just coach speak, quick sayings, things that we use. I always, if I'm talking to young kids, I'm saying even the greatest player was once a beginner. You know, you've got to start somewhere, play at your own level. It doesn't take talent to hustle. You can be the number one team on the or number one player on the team or the number 15 player, but it doesn't take talent to hustle, and hustle is rewarded. I'm now becoming what I'm going to be. Study habits, work habits, practice habits, working, practicing in the gym. Scott Drought used to shoot 500 jump shots every day in the Armory or at Ludlow High School. He became a tremendous shooter. But, you know, he worked at it. It didn't come naturally, so you're now becoming what you're going to be. Don't be cute. Just execute. You know, just a way to get messages across to players by the use of these little quick hitter sayings, and coach is the master of them.
Well, if I, you know, having campers like that, and then your players, you know, if you hoot with the owls at night, you cannot soar with the eagles in the morning, getting your rest. If you sleep with the dogs, you end up with fleas. If you hang around the sore long enough, you end up smelling like a rat. You know, but I have a million of these things, and former players and students tell me in their workplace, they use them a lot, and they think of me when they use them. But I just got a myriad of those thoughts.
There's many a slip between the cup and the lip.
Yeah. You ever have any of your former players or anybody that you've worked with in these camps who said, you know, when you said that, I just thought it was silly, but now that I think back on it, after I've grown up a little bit more, I say, wow, there was some truth in what he was saying. That's exactly right.
I went into a restaurant out in Fort Mitchell just about 2 weeks ago. I was with Mike Listerman. And anyway, the guy that ran the restaurant, he was the chief cook and bottle washer and was the owner. And he knew I was there, and he came out, and he spilled off a couple of those sayings right now. You know, he said he remembers them. But, you know, I think they're effective, and I think that the former players and students, and like I said, I love teaching every bit as much as I love coaching. And I coach baseball and basketball. And in the end of my high school years, I had slow pitch softball. You know, I played a lot of softball myself. But I have a lot of sayings. And the youngster, remember, John Wooden always carried a crucifix in his pocket. And sometimes he put it in the palm of his hand. And I picked that up. And I always carry a couple crosses in my pocket, and I'll have guys or gals 10 years later that'll walk up to me at Applebee's and say, "Do you have those crosses?" And I pull them out and show it to them. You know, that's just something that, you know, it goes along with the whole thing.
We had a call from Donald, and he wanted us to ask you about your relationship with Paul Clarkston. And is it LaRon Moore? Is that correct? Okay.
Well, Paul Clarkston and LaRon Moore, they were the two biggest recruits we ever got. And they came in back there in the 92 period of time, 93. But, you know, I'm still very close with Paul Clarkston. He is a co-owner of the Chevrolet dealer down in Lawrenceburg, Indiana, Kelsey Chevrolet. And Paul played for me, and he's the greatest free throw shooter that ever played. Made, again, 94 out of 94 in his senior year. A great guy. I was a godfather for one of his children. LaRon Moore, of course, came out of Lexington. He became an All-American. He's a car salesman in the area. And, you know, I don't see him as much or hear from LaRon as much as I do Paul. But Paul is just a very special type of guy that's stayed very integrally involved in my life, you know.
You ever have any players who've gone on to coach?
Well, over my career and coached in high school and college, there's at least 55 of them who have gone on to coach, many of which are 55.
That's amazing.
55. And many of them are still coaching. Some of them are head high school coaches in the area. I've got Ryan Strand at Holy Cross High School, Shannon Miner, head coach at North College Hill. I got a bunch of them out there for sure. I mean, all over, but in Cincinnati and in Northern
Kentucky.
Kevin's
at Highlands.
Please.
Kevin Listerman.
Kevin Listerman's the head Highlands coach. Andy Listerman's out at Elder. We just got a whole bunch, and there were 55 all together that have gone on into it. Some of them are not in it now, and some of them are on the collegiate level. Jeff Walls, who played for me at Highlands and KU, is the head women's coach at University of Louisville, and he's had tremendous success there. I've got a bunch of them out there, believe you me.
Are any of the kids that you coached or who attended your camps, were there any of them that really stood out to you in terms of they had just some hardships or some family problems, the things that really touched you as you were working with them?
Well, certainly you run into that. Some of them that's had tough backgrounds. I will say this, in my college years, first year I worked in the park, a little fellow came into camp and he had all kinds of troubles and basically was left out there. And my mother and dad adopted him and he lived with us for 7 years until he was 13 and he passed away suddenly and unexpectedly. But I mean, you know, some of your players definitely have tougher times, for sure. I've had a player at NKU who came into my office in the summer and said, "Coach, I'm hungry." You know, he came out of Louisville and I'm hungry. And I basically made damn sure he got a good meal. And even though that is really against the NCAA rules, and I didn't break many of them, but I broke one that time. You know, I had another player who really had problems, and I used to receive under my door an envelope that had this guy's name on it, Reggie, and it was sealed. Well, I gave it to Reggie. Well, I found out years later that our secretary had a $10 bill in each one of those envelopes for Reggie. Right. And he was a young man that really needed it, and he had problems in his life.
One of the photos that surfaced when I was doing the research showed Coach Ken Shields and Dave Beasel flanking a player on senior night, which traditionally the parents of the player will flank that player. I don't remember who the player was, but I do remember that he didn't have parents available to escort him to be introduced on senior night. So Coach Shields and Coach Dave Beasel assumed the role of mom and dad and walked him out to the middle of the floor.
That was Shaft, by the way. Yes, that happened quite a bit of the time. Some of the parents had never ever seen them play, and some of them didn't know where their parents were. You would run into that. But again, in order to be effective as a coach, you got to have solid players that can play and are committed and have good work ethic. But you got to have a good staff. My staff in high school, I alluded to Bill Petty, Mike Listerman, John Mesmer, Dick Maley. He had some great coaches. But at NKU, I had Pat Ryan for 16 years, tremendously dedicated and good coach. I had Dave Beasel, Walt Corbin, who came out of Seven Hills High School, played at Xavier University for Pete Gillen. But you got to have good assistant coaches, and it takes the whole team to get it done.
Yeah, it is a team effort. It really is.
It's a team effort. Yeah. And you got to have perseverance and stick-to-itiveness. And, you have dark days. It's always darkest before the dawn. So when we had our first child, a girl, I said to Marie, we're calling her Dawn, D-A-W-N, my first daughter. She named the rest of her children, but I named Dawn, Dawn.
Tell me about Marie. And if I understand right, you and Marie, this is your wedding anniversary today.
52nd anniversary today. We were married August the 28th, 1965, in Covington at St. Aloysius Church. Marie grew up in St. Aloysius Parish. I was down in St. Patrick's Parish, and we met each other at Goble Park. We met each other when she was going to be an eighth grader and I was going to be a freshman. And we went together through most of high school. And then I went to the University of Dayton, and she stayed locally and went to what was Villa Madonna College, and it's Thomas More now. And we had ups and downs, but ultimately we got together and got married and moved to Fort Thomas to an apartment, and we haven't left Fort Thomas. And all five of our children and our 16 grandchildren live within 5 minutes of us in the northern end of Fort Thomas. And another thing is this. In my entire 40-year career, high schools and college, I never, ever took longer than 11 minutes to get to work. 11 minutes to get KU, 11 minutes less to St. Thomas and Highlands, and certainly Covington Catholic.
Oh, if only all our commutes could be that short. Wow. And your wife has been just incredibly supportive all these years.
Very supportive.
A coach's job is not an easy one.
Right. She taught a year and a half, and then we started our family, and she was home 14 years. And then she came back and she taught 28 years in the Fort Thomas system in the middle school math program. And she retired, 8 years ago, and I retired, of course, it's in the 13th year right now.
Now, you've had a couple of the book events so far, the book signings so
far.
We
have had three.
Three altogether, okay.
Two at the Barleycorns, one in Lakeside Park, the other in Cold Springs. Standing room only. Amazing the attachment people still have to our coach. And then most recently, Saturday morning, Barringer Crawford Museum, the Northern Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame, put that one on. Again, big crowd on hand, sold a lot of books, and renewed some acquaintances. A lot of his old players turned up, and I'm sure we'll have others on the horizon. We certainly want to do one in conjunction with Highlands High School. Northern Kentucky University, as their season starts up, cranks up. I want to credit Mark Collier, Micro Press. He is the man who produces our product, and we have been working him hard trying to keep the supply in front of the demand. We take orders for the book at shieldsbook.com, and we try to do our best to keep the mailings of that particular orders that come in through there and some of the extra orders that we took at the book signings. But amazing the response that we've had. When Coach originally said, let's come out with this thing in August, I thought, well, we've waited 10 years. Let's wait another couple months till basketball season cranks up and then do it in the fall. That would have been a big mistake. The outdoor book signing at Barleycorn's Cold Springs with my friends and family, coaches, friends, family, old fans, overwhelming, just overwhelming.
Well, over 300 books. If the book only costs $15, and 25% of any profit will go back to the Ken Shields Men's Basketball NKU Scholarship Fund. And so that's going to be a factor in itself. When we got into this, we said we weren't in it to make a lot of money.
No.
You know, and
we succeeded.
But it's been a very much a fun project.
And a quick question for you, Coach. We were running out of time quickly here, but second book on the way, maybe?
Someone mentioned it. I don't know. That's down the road.
If I write another book, it'll probably be about somebody who had a 4-year playing career instead of a man that had a
40-year coaching career.
You know, as I said, I thought it would be an easy process. We'd meet once every Thursday morning. I'd make a few notes. We'd write a chapter. And certainly in a year or two, we'd grind this thing out. Not to be, but we've got what we have is a tremendous production, and I think it's a good read. Thanks to Terry Bemker, Rick Myers, and the good people that made this and brought it to fruition.
Kenny and Dave, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Kenny Shields and Dave Chabelle, the new book is Nothing More, Nothing Less, Nothing Else.